Measuring our child poverty rate is critical to getting a sense of our nation's economic and social health. Child poverty costs our nation some $500 billion a year in health costs, crime costs, as well as lost productivity and lost wages. But a new report from the Annie E. Casey Foundation questions the accuracy of the official poverty measure that we've been relying on for the past half century. Laura Speer is with the Annie E. Casey Foundation, and she's here now to tell us about the latest Kids Count data snapshot. Welcome, Laura.
Thanks for having me. I'm happy to be here.
Tell us what's missing from the official poverty measure that, as your report points out, we've been using for half a century now.
Right. Well, the official poverty measure that we're using was created in the mid-1960s, and it's based on a very minimal family budget. It actually was based on the fact that food accounted for about a third of a family's budget back then, and we multiplied that number by three and have adjusted for inflation since then, even though, in fact, food is only about 10% of the average family's budget today. So we have this poverty threshold or this dollar amount where families are considered above or below poverty, about $24,000 a year. And it's the same if you're in New York City as if you're in Tuscaloosa, Alabama, same exact poverty threshold, which is a problem because we know cost of living varies a lot across the country. And it also doesn't take into account things like food assistance programs like food stamps or the SNAP program. It doesn't take into consideration housing subsidies and some of the tax credits that people get. So it's definitely got some problems, and we think that there's a better tool out there to really look at the needs of families and the impact of our investments in the safety net program.
Well, what's happening because of that information hole?
Well, one of the results is that when you look at kind of just income, what you see is that there has not been any real improvements in the child poverty rate, let's say, since 1990. We kind of look back over the last 20 years or so, the child poverty rate has stayed pretty flat. If you take into consideration some of the major investments that we've made, and the biggest one, actually, the biggest impact is being had by the earned income tax credit and child tax credits. When we look at, people don't really think of them as safety net programs, but in reality, those refundable tax credits are lifting more children out of poverty than any one program that the federal government sponsors. It's actually lifting about 5 million children above the poverty line. So just looking straight at income, we see that there hasn't been much of a change. The child poverty rate pretty much is the same as it was in 1990, but when we factor in these programs, we see that there's actually been a pretty substantial decline in the child poverty rate in our country. And we see just even in 1 year, in 2011-2013, that the child poverty rate was cut nearly in half from about 33% to 18% if we take into consideration government programs, which has lifted about 11 million children above the poverty line in total in our country.
In fact, as I look at your report, in Michigan, we see 30% without interventions, but when you factor in those interventions, it's halved. It goes down to 15%.
That's right. It's lifted about 340,000 children in Michigan above the poverty line. Programs like the EITC and child tax credits and food stamps, making a really big difference. So what's important about this is that we need to recognize the fact that these programs work, that they actually are making a difference and kind of helping these families keep their heads above water. It still is a basic subsistence, and we know that we need to do more, especially for children, if we want them to be successful as adults. But it's important to recognize that these safety net programs are critical, that we need to support them and maintain them, and that they have an impact. And we need to make sure that we keep them healthy for families to take advantage of in the future.
Your foundation's report, Laura Speer, calls for replacing the official poverty measure with something that was created by the U.S. Census Bureau called SPM, the Supplemental Poverty Measure. How does SPM work?
Well, the Supplemental Poverty Measure is a new measure that's based on a more modern family budget. So, for example, it takes into consideration things like child care expenses, as well as expenses for working and housing and food. And it's also adjusted for cost of living differences. So it's a different threshold depending on where you live. And it includes the benefits that we've been talking about, SNAP and food stamps and EITC. So this is a measure that the Census Bureau created back in 2011. And right now it's available just at the state level. It's a research measure, so it's not something that's being used in programs across the country. But we think it's a much better way to track kind of progress over time, even though we'll likely still need to keep the official poverty measure in order to help people access programs. This supplemental poverty measure is a really good way to see the impact of our investments kind of at the 10,000-foot level, both at the national level and at the state level.
And again, in hopes that policymakers and legislators see that and go, okay, this is working, let's keep these programs in place.
That's right. That's right. And also that we see that there is a difference in terms of what we can make available to people, and it makes a difference where they live. There should be some consideration taken into account there, and that states also can make a difference in addition to the federal program. So states that have implemented their own earned income tax credits are seeing bigger impacts than those that haven't.
The title of the report is Measuring Access to Opportunity. It's the latest Kids Count data snapshot from the Annie E. Casey Foundation. You can get more at aecf.org. That's aecf.org. Laura Speer, thank you so much for speaking with us today.
Happy to do it. Thanks for having me.